As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world, said Jesus. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He's a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man," meaning Jesus, "is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you're trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out. And when he found them, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who's he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. During Lent, we have switched from our walk through the Gospel of Matthew to the Gospel of John. John was written last of the four Gospels, sometime around 90 AD, during a time when the followers of Jesus were being excommunicated from the Jewish synagogues. Between the death and resurrection of Jesus, between 33 AD and 90 AD, the followers of Jesus were treated as a Jewish sect who worshiped alongside other Jews in the synagogues. The story of the man blind from birth in chapter 9 of the Gospel of John is written in this context. Imagine this. You are a Jew who has found the Messiah only to have him crucified. To your great joy, he was resurrected. But shortly thereafter, he ascended into heaven, and you no longer have him physically present with you. 30+ years later, the Romans destroy your temple in Jerusalem. So you have to focus your worship in the synagogues. Now, because you believe Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, you're being told you're no longer welcome in your synagogue. John, the most skilled writer in the New Testament, tells a story that becomes one of the most beloved stories in the early church. The story of the man born blind became the scripture reading that Christians preparing for baptism on Easter studied toward the end of their Lenten journey. Why do you think that would be? One reason is the question that begins the story. What caused the man to be born blind? The Jews tended to connect suffering and sin. The question presented to Jesus was not whether sin caused suffering, but whose sin caused the suffering. Specifically, they asked, "Rabbi, who was it who sinned that he was born blind?" this man or his parents? Jesus rejects both options. Now, while certainly sin can cause suffering, Jesus rejects the idea that the man born blind was born that way as a result of sin. Jesus does not answer the difficult question which has been asked in many ways over the centuries. Why is it that bad things happen to good people? Jesus does tell us that God can be glorified in every life. Even a person who's seemingly unproductive because of an accident of birth is born to glorify God. Now, while we might be hard-pressed to explain how God is glorified in some situations, we can certainly see how God was glorified in this one. The man born blind became a central character in a pivotal story of the Gospel of John. Indeed, the man born blind taught the Pharisees a lesson and continues to teach us today. And when we think about it, aren't we all born blind? Are any of us born with a full understanding of the light of Jesus? Aren't we all in need of Jesus' healing touch? No one is without sin. No one is without spiritual blindness. No one can claim to have the light as a result of their own wisdom. Unfortunate for the Pharisees, they do not seem to get the point. They're proud of their understanding of the law. They're proud of their heritage as children of Moses. They are proud they were born with eyesight, yet they choose to be blind. In this scripture passage, we have one of the seven great I am passages of the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." We also have one of the great seven signs of Jesus' divinity put forth by John the Evangelist, the healing of the man born blind. Never before in recorded history had a man blind from birth been given sight. There were examples of persons who had lost their sight and regained it, but never one born sightless. In spite of this sign, which was enough for the blind man to conclude Jesus was more than a man, more than a mere prophet, he was the Son of God. Yet those who had studied and pored over the scriptures could not see the light. William Barclay says that the Pharisees in this story, quote, are typical of the people in every generation who condemn anyone whose idea of religion is not theirs, end quote. The irony beautifully written in this story is that the man who did not choose to be blind is chosen by God to glorify the light of the world, Jesus. Those who were the most privileged in their society, who considered themselves to be chosen by God from the start, choose to be blind to the light of the world, Jesus. The enlightening of the man born blind and the hardening blindness of the Pharisees is masterfully written by John, in which comes across like a courtroom drama. Each time the man cleverly recites the facts and leaves it to the inquisitors to draw the conclusion, when asked how his eyes were opened, he describes how that man they call Jesus put mud on his eyes and instructed him to wash. This healing water that washes away blindness is why this story fits so well with baptism. In baptism, we affirm that God's choice of us has healed us of our spiritual blindness, not anything we've done ourselves. When they ask the man to draw a conclusion, he bravely expresses an opinion that would subject him to excommunication from the synagogue. Quote, "Since it is your eyes he opened, what have you to say about him?" The man responds, "He is a prophet." His parents shy away from such a bold assertion, but they confirm that he was indeed born blind. The third time the man is asked, he is told to, quote, "give glory to God," end quote. This is a traditional way used at the time to tell someone, tell the truth. The scene becomes tense, and the man becomes even braver. Quote, "Give glory to God? We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know is that though I was blind, now I see." Remember when John asked Jesus if indeed he was the one that God sent? What was Jesus' response to John the Baptist? "The blind now see." Then he said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples?" And then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Wake up." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sin and you're trying to teach us?" So they drove him out. The man was excommunicated. The fear that the first century Christians were living with. John addresses this fear with Jesus seeking the man out. The message is that Jesus is with us, even when we feel rejected by organized religion. Like so many times in the Gospels, the heroes are not the leaders of the church. The heroes are not those who keep all the rules and condemn those who deviate from the rules. Jesus is the light. Keeping the rules is not the light. Refusing to see God's love for those we label as blind to the truth makes us blind. The true sin is claiming our rules over the light that is Jesus. The true sin is choosing blindness over the light. May each of us choose Jesus over blindness. Amen.